Welcome to Catholic Answers Live, the program where you participate with your questions about apologetics and evangelization, including the most important theological, spiritual, moral, and social issues facing the world today. Call now with your question for today's guest, toll free, 1-888-31-TRUTH. That's 888-318-7884. Now, from San Diego, Catholic Answers Live.
Second hour of Catholic Answers Live. Thank you for being with us this hour. Our topic is the Sacrament of Mercy. Confession is an often misunderstood and almost maybe constantly underestimated gift of Christ to His Church. And this hour, we're taking your questions on confession. I am your host, Cy Kellett. And if you have any questions, comments, maybe even objections to the Sacrament of Confession, please give us a call, 888-318-7884. That's 888-318-7884. Our guest this hour is Father Wade Menezes, CPM, a frequent television host for EWTN. Father Menezes is a member of the Fathers of Mercy, a missionary preaching religious congregation based in Auburn, Kentucky, currently the director of vocations and the director of seminarians for the Fathers of Mercy. Father Wade has served as the chaplain in residence at the Shrine of the Most Blessed Sacrament of Our Lady of Angels Monastery in Hanceville, Alabama, where he is today. Father Wade, welcome back to Catholic Answers Live.
Thank you, Cy. It's great to be with you all this afternoon.
And maybe you could tell us a little bit about why you're at the monastery there in Alabama.
Sure. Here at the Shrine of the Most Blessed Sacrament right now, talking to you live to commemorate the one-year anniversary of passing of Mother Mary Angelica, the foundress of EWTN. She died 1 year ago today, on March 27th of 2016, which was Easter Sunday. What a day to go, huh?
That's right.
What a day to be called by the Lord.
I know.
So we had a special Eucharistic Holy Hour last evening, live, broadcast on EWTN, along with 5 decades of the Rosary, with writings of mothers interspersed in between the decades. And then today we had a special Mass commemorating her passing.
That's just a beautiful thing. And she was the foundress of EWTN, and also was she a religious foundress as well, is that right?
Yes, she founded the new foundation of the Poor Clare Nuns of Perpetual Adoration in Irondale, Alabama, from the Canton Monastery. The original community was founded in 1854 in France, and then Canton was founded decades ago. Mother was originally a young sister in that community, and then in the early 1960s felt called to establish a Poor Clare convent in the South somewhere, primarily to be an interracial monastery to bring the races together. And so she founded her monastery in Irondale, and just a woman with a keen sense of humor, a keen sense of the theology of faithfulness to daily duty. Today, EWTN, Cy, is transmitting Catholic programming in 24 hours a day into 148 million homes in 144 countries across the world. And this is on over 4,800 cable systems, whether they be wireless cable or direct broadcast satellite, low power, or even individual user satellites on homes. And Mother, one of my favorite quotes about her work in founding the network, she says, "I've learned that when you deal with God, you have to just get out of His way." She says, "I think the best advice I could offer you about God is if you feel Him calling to work with you, get out of His way, because He has plans that we wouldn't even think of in a million years. You need to just let God do whatever He wants to do and watch what happens and stay faithful all the while." So this network, founded by a cloistered nun, huh? And that's the greatness of the story of EWTN.
Isn't it? It's just a magnificent. Her life is a testament to the power of the Holy Spirit. When you think that, I mean, how many of the great and mighty tried in various ways to accomplish what she accomplished, but she did it just one step at a time. As you said, being faithful every day, doing her part, and what an extraordinary thing to say, just get out of God's way and look at the flowering of her work around the world. Extraordinary.
Absolutely. And all the while being very, very faithful to her cloistered vocation and never, ever giving that up, you know. And once the network began, began to partake of the network's own work, like with her own show and whatnot, but always, always remained faithful to her life of prayer and with her daughters there in the convent. I said earlier, just a few moments ago, that she had a keen sense of awareness of the theology of faithfulness to daily duty, which is a theology that's very dear to my own heart. And a great quote of hers is, she says, "The Christian vocation is simple. You are first a child of God, and then the state of life where God has placed you is the source of your holiness. Indeed, holiness can be a beautiful struggle." And this we can't forget, and this is for your listeners to be well aware of this as well, Sai, is that she's a woman who had her fair share of struggles for those who know her life. We know that she came from a divorced home caused by a father who abandoned his wife and only daughter. And we know, too, that in her adolescence, the young Rita Rizzo, the future Mother Angelica, witnessed her mother's depression and poverty. She once said, quote, "I did very poorly in school. I wasn't interested in learning the capital of Ohio. I was only interested in whether my mother had committed suicide that day or not," end quote. And as a young woman, Mother Angelica also suffered from chronic digestive problems, and in high school was given calcium and as a nerve medication to treat what was then deemed a very nervous condition. And as a young nun, she suffered a spinal injury that would require her to wear leg braces for the most of her life, you know, most of her years. And then she would face head-on the uncertainties of fundraising, broadcasting, and building projects, and sometimes just take a leap of faith with a new business venture when things got down to the wire financially, not knowing how the next bills would be paid for the network, like the making and selling of fishing lures, you know, the cloister nuns making fishing lures, you know. So just a great life, a great testimony of faith. And then she would also have to deal with both clerics and laity, who challenged her over her traditional approach to conveying the purity of the Catholic faith. And she never, ever gave up. She says, "I never asked for suffering, but if God sends it, I won't refuse it. If he is the God-man had to suffer in order to enter into his glory, then each one of us too must suffer in order to prepare ourselves for our own glory." And so just a beautiful testimony to faith.
Amen. A beautiful testimony. And so I'm so glad we got a chance to kind of check in with you, and I'm glad that you were there. I mean, you know, we have our connection now to Alabama today because you're there and you're here with us. Because this it's a wonderful life to remember, a great model for all of us, I would say, and just everyone who is in Catholic media knows that the debt that they owe to Mother Angelica. I'm sure of that. Now, let me ask you a little bit about you, Father. Thank you so much for your testimony to Mother Angelica. But let me ask you about you. What is a Father of Mercy? Can you tell us a little bit about that? You're a member of the Fathers of Mercy.
Sure, Si. We are an itinerant missionary preaching order based out of Auburn, Kentucky. For those familiar with that area, we're located about 13 miles west of Bowling Green, Kentucky, which itself is just about 55 miles directly north of Nashville, Tennessee, on the Interstate 65. That's where our main generalate house is. We call it the generalate because that's where the Superior General resides as well. It is our main residence, and all the full-time missionaries on the mission band are stationed out of our main house. The Fathers of Mercy, we preach parish missions, retreats, and devotions throughout primarily the United States and Canada and Australia. We cater to the need of the pastor or to the group that calls us in or to the bishop that calls us in. So the traditional week-long parish mission is the most popular item we preach, I would say, especially during Lent, the Easter season, and also Advent, very popular times for parish missions. In fact, I'm just en route back now to the Generalate House in Kentucky from Conyers, Georgia, at Pope St. Pius X Parish there, the only Catholic parish in Conyers, where I just completed a week-long parish mission this past week. So I was able to stop here in Hansville for the festivities commemorating Mother's 1 year of passing now on my way home to Kentucky. So we average 300 people a day at that parish mission, with both a morning session and an evening session. But as far as retreats go, Si, we cater to the need of the group or to the pastor. Father-son retreats, mother-daughter retreats, engaged couples retreats, married couples retreats, widow and widower retreats, which I like to joke are soon followed again with a married retreat. So, you know, we just cater to the need as we're called in. Confirmation retreats, sacramental prep retreats. So your listeners can find us at fathersofmercy.com. We're very easy to find. An email can be sent to our mission director at missions, with an S, missions@fathersofmercy.com. If it's a parish event, it must be the pastor himself, not a layperson nor an associate pastor, but the pastor himself who makes contact with our mission director, Father Joseph Itona. But again, missions@fathersofmercy.com is the email address. Or they can just go to fathersofmercy.com, simple website address to remember, fathersofmercy.com, and just take a look at us there.
Father Wade Menezes is our guest this hour. 888-318-7884 is the number. We're talking confession, the sacrament of mercy, and who better than a father of mercy to be here to talk with us about that sacrament. 888-318-7884. Expect the lines to fill up this hour. So if you've got a question or comment or even an objection to the sacrament of confession, we are happy to take your call. 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live, and we'll be right back with more on the sacrament of confession.
Hello, this is Archbishop Alexander Sample of the Archdiocese of Portland in Oregon. Keep that dial right here on Catholic Answers Live.
We hear it every year, the perennial question, what are you giving up for Lent? And there's nothing wrong with doing without certain things you may have an affinity for. But this year, why not turn the question around and ask, what are you taking on for Lent? Did you know that by investing as little as 5 minutes a day, you can take on a Lenten practice that will both build up and inform your faith? A Daily Defense is the perfect book for your Lenten journey. Jimmy Akin takes up a different challenge for every day of the year, teaching you how you can defend the faith and give answers to Catholics and skeptics alike. And it's user-friendly, so finding the answers can be quick and easy. Make this Lent one to remember. Order your copy of A Daily Defense today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Homeschool Connections, an online provider of courses for your Catholic homeschool, is a sponsor of Catholic Answers Live. Homeschool Connections website is homeschoolconnections.com.
It was 100 years ago that our Blessed Mother appeared to three children in Fatima, Portugal, and Catholic Answers Magazine is marking the anniversary with a very special issue. Want to be sure to get your copy? Subscribe right now to the best Catholic apologetics magazine anywhere by calling 888-291-8000 or by going to Catholic.com. Getting Fatima right, exploding the myths of Fatima, and a closer look at our Blessed Mother. Just a few of the articles to look forward to. You don't want to miss this very special issue highlighting this hallmark event in Catholic history. Don't wait another moment to subscribe. Call 888-291-8000 or go to the shop at Catholic.com right now to get subscriptions for yourself and those you love. Share the faith. Defend the faith. Catholic Answers Magazine from Catholic Answers, the most trusted name in Catholic apologetics.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. We are talking confession this hour with Father of Mercy, Father Wade Menezes. And Father, can you give us just a little, maybe a little primer on confession? Because I wonder if people know what it is we Catholics believe. Even Catholics sometimes, I wonder if are familiar with what it is we believe the sacrament of confession is and does.
Sure, sure. Any primer for confession itself, would, in my opinion, needs to be preceded by a little primer on the sacramental theology of the Church in general, and then move to confession in particular. So in the Catholic Church, we have seven sacraments. We have baptism, confirmation, Holy Eucharist, matrimony and holy orders, and then confession and the anointing of the sick. Now, that order I just gave those, Cy, those seven sacraments in that particular order, also give us a prep for the three categories that the seven sacraments fall under. So, seven sacraments, three categories. The three sacraments of initiation, baptism, confirmation, and Holy Eucharist. And by initiation, we mean they are meant for everyone, number one. And number two, they make one fully, fully initiated into the fullness of Catholic faith and worship. Number two, the two sacraments of union are matrimony and holy orders. And I love this title, the two sacraments of union. Why? Because they are at the service of communion and mission to the populaces throughout the world, the people they serve. And this is one of the major arguments in defense of natural marriage and family life. Again, two sacraments of union, matrimony and holy orders. And these two sacraments are at the service of communion and mission to the populaces throughout the world. And then the two sacraments of healing, Sai, are confession and the anointing of the sick. And they do just that. They heal the individual, either spiritually and or physically. And confession restores, specifically now in particular confession, is one of the two sacraments of healing. Confession restores our union with Christ, which has been disrupted by personal sins, whether mortal or venial. St. Paul and St. Peter, but St. Paul more directly, St. Peter more indirectly, both state that there is sin that is deadly and sin that is not deadly. And yet the sin that is not deadly is still sin nonetheless. It has still disrupted the person's relationship with God. So we have mortal sin and venial sin, the two classic categorizations of sin. Now, there's thousands upon thousands upon thousands of sins that can be committed by an individual, and sin is always a personal act. It's committed by the individual. That's why we say that mortal sin and venial sin, once committed, are quote-unquote personal sins, because the person themselves individually has committed them. So you and I, Sai, we could rob a bank together, which we didn't do. I want to make that perfectly clear to our listeners. But we could rob a bank together, but it's still a personal sin on my part, and it's still a personal sin on your part. And so there is sin that is deadly and is not deadly. If mortal sin, it's grave matter. It's done with fullness of knowledge that it's grave matter, and it's done with deliberate consent of the will. And if any one of those three elements is missing, we have a venial sin. So, for example, the little 7-year-old who's just entered the age of reason, the ability to make moral choices for God or against God, for neighbor or against neighbor, takes a pack of gum from the checkout line at the drugstore when mommy's not looking. Or better yet, when daddy's not looking, huh? And that's a sin. He should not have done that, okay? Versus the 26-year-old young woman who purposefully, willingly, knowingly goes and obtains an abortion of her child. Now, there is sin that is deadly and sin that is not deadly, but the sin that is not deadly is still sin nonetheless. And so the great news is that the sacrament of confession, also known as the sacrament of conversion, the sacrament of penance, the sacrament of reconciliation, right there in the catechism of the Catholic Church, restores our union with Christ disrupted by personal sins, which again is either mortal or venial sin. Now, we can't forget here that it's the original sin, capital O, capital S, the original sin of our first parents in the Garden of Eden that ushered in what? That ushered in personal sin. The mortal and or the venial sin. Original sin ushered in the personal sin of the individual. And in the Catechism of the Catholic Church, I like to remind my listeners, and I'll do so now for the radio show, the Catechism of the Catholic Church numbers 1422 through 1498. 1422 through 1498 is the entire section on the sacrament of penance and reconciliation. So obviously we can't cover everything about the beauty of this sacrament, one of the 7 sacraments of the Church, in a 55-minute radio show, but I can direct them to take to meditation, especially before the Blessed Sacrament, if your parish has a Eucharistic Adoration Chapel. What beautiful readings. Take 3 to 5 numbered paragraphs a day, 1422 through 1498, and read these over the course of several days during Lent, which embraces so beautifully the sacrament of penance and reconciliation, and use those paragraphs as meditation paragraphs.
Father Wade Menezes is our guest. The topic, confession, sacrament of mercy. The number, 888-318-7884. That's 888-318-7884. And Father, we've got some calls about confession, so I'd like to get to them, if that's all right with you.
Sure, you bet.
Let's go to Martha in Rialto, California, listening on the Immaculate Heart radio app. Martha, you are on with Father Menezes. What's your question?
Good afternoon. My question is this, Father. My granddaughter is baptized Catholic. She knows I'm Catholic. I go to church. Her mother doesn't take her to church. But my granddaughter wanted to go to confession to confess her sin. I didn't ask what it was. Is a person, child or adult, able to go to confession and receive absolution, even though they have not received the sacrament through the church?
Well, she hasn't been prepared for her first confession, is what you're saying. Her confession would be her first confession. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yes, because she has not received formal training yet for the sacrament of reconciliation, which is normally received around age 7, what the church holds to be the age of reason. And yet she's expressing at age 10, 3 years beyond the age of reason, that she feels the need to want to learn more about the sacrament and indeed go to the sacrament. This is such a beautiful, beautiful thing. My first question to you as the grandmother, if you had come to me, if I was at a parish, which I'm not, but if you had come to me and shared this same exact situation with me, my first question to you is the grandmother who's concerned, knowing that the 10-year-old granddaughter wants to receive the sacrament, I would ask you point blank, does her mother know this? Also, is there a father in the picture? Let's get the parents involved. Let's get them involved. The parents are the primary educators of their children. Do they understand that before the child is emancipated from the home, before the age of 18, they act as ambassadors of Christ to their children? And it is a grave, grave injustice on the part of the parent to not want to feed the faith of the child who they saw get baptized through their own effort back when the child was an infant. So my first thing, and I think this would be the Pope Francis approach, would be to want to get the parent involved. Let's not try to do anything beyond the parent's back. Let's have a sit down with the 10-year-old daughter and the mother and the grandmother and say, look, a beautiful thing is working here. It's called the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Blessed Trinity. What can we do? Okay. And then you would want to, at least at the very minimal, Martha, you would want to get the mother's permission to at least take the child to see a priest, a parish priest, to have her be entered on a teaching roster through the CCD program at the parish to prepare for first reconciliation. And because she's already showing a desire to receive the sacrament of confession, a desire to want to go to confession, I'm sure the priest would set up through you or the mother the ability to, quote-unquote, fast-track, if I can use a colloquialism there, to have her receive the sacrament sooner than later because she's already showing great zeal for the sacrament. That's how we would want to do this. But we would want to make every effort to get the parent or the parents, if the father's still involved, get the parents involved with this process, because it could also be a means that brings the parents back to the sacraments as well.
Yes. Thank you very much, Father.
You're very welcome. You're very welcome.
Thank you, Martha. Thank you so much for that call. 888-318-7884 is the number. We are talking confession today, the Sacrament of Mercy on Catholic Answers Live. Our guest is Father Wade Menezes, and he is himself a Father of Mercy, so a very good person to talk to about the Sacrament of Confession. Father, it sometimes seems to me that children almost instinctively get confession. They understand. They do
absolutely.
It's us adults who are maybe more resistant. Am I right about that?
Absolutely. I mean, it's the innocence of the child knowing that they've sinned. You know, look at the lives of the saints. Dominic Savio, dead at age 15 from tuberculosis. Maria Goretti, dead at age 12 from being stabbed 14 times by 16-year-old Alessandro Serinelli, who attempted to rape her in her parents' own kitchen. And yet, what was Maria's concern the following morning after the attack, just before she died? What did she tell her mother on her deathbed in the hospital? Mama, Mama, pray for Alessandro. I want to see him one day in heaven. I mean, she's forgiving her attacker on her own deathbed, knowing that she's dying. I mean, talk about reconciliation, you know.
Amen to that. 888-318-7884 is the number. Confession, Sacrament of Mercy, is our topic this hour. We've got a quite a few lines full. If you'd like to get in, now is the time to call. 888-318-7884. We'll be right back with more on the Sacrament of Confession and your questions right here on Catholic Answers Live.
Catholic Answers Live.
Hi, this is Trent Horn, and I'm here to tell you about my new book, Hard Sayings, A Catholic Approach to Answering Bible Difficulties. Have you ever read something in the Bible that confused you? Or has a skeptic ever asked you to explain a scandalous passage and you didn't know what to say? Doesn't Genesis contradict science? Why does the Bible promote slavery? How could God order his people to kill women and children? It's happened to just about everyone. But now you have a place to turn for the answers. In Hard Sayings, I look at dozens of the most confounding passages in Scripture and offer clear, reasonable, and Catholic keys to unlocking their true meaning. After reading this book, you'll be equipped to answer the toughest questions skeptics ask about the Bible. So don't be left without an answer again. Order your copy of Hard Sayings today by calling 1-888-291-8000, by visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or by asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
It was 100 years ago that our Blessed Mother appeared to three children in Fatima, Portugal, and Catholic Answers Magazine is marking the anniversary with a very special issue. Want to be sure to get your copy? Subscribe right now to the best Catholic apologetics magazine anywhere by calling 888-291-8000 or by going to Catholic.com. Getting Fatima right, exploding the myths of Fatima, and a closer look at our Blessed Mother. Just a few of the articles to look forward to. You don't want to miss this very special issue highlighting this hallmark event in Catholic history. Don't wait another moment to subscribe. Call 888-291-8000 or go to the shop at Catholic.com right now to get subscriptions for yourself and those you love. Share the faith. Defend the faith. Catholic Answers Magazine from Catholic Answers, the most trusted name in Catholic apologetics.
Coming up today, right after Catholic Answers Live, Marcus Grody's guest on the journey home is Steve Dawson. Steve is a former non-practicing Catholic and the author of Catholic Street Evangelization. And each weekday morning on EWTN Radio, make sure to tune in to Women of Grace with Jeanette Benkovic. Jeanette embraces the essence of feminine spirituality. She'll inspire you with the truth of the Catholic faith. That's weekdays at 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific, right here on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Confession is the sacrament of mercy. We have a Father of Mercy, Father Wade Menezes, here to talk with us about confession this hour. We go now to Margaret in Oregon, listening on the EWTN app. Margaret, your question about confession for Father Wade Menezes.
Hi, Father Wade. I have a godson. Well, actually, we have quite a few godchildren, but this one in particular is the oldest. He is a teenager, obviously, and they're pushing him to get his confirmation, but at this point, he doesn't even want to go to confession. In fact, his parents have pushed him to literally going into the confessional, but he tells the priest, or what he's telling us is that he's saying, I don't have anything to say to you, and gets up and leaves, and he says, my parents said I had to go to confession. I have gone in the confessional. I'm turning around and leaving now. So I bet you've dealt with this before, but can you help us out a bit here?
Yeah, my first question, and I don't expect you to comment on this. I want you to understand that I say this rhetorically. My first question is the relationship between father and son, because there should be such a relationship between the same gender parent with the same gender child as to guide that child into the fullness of their young adulthood as male or into the fullness of their young adulthood as female. And for the father himself to open up and have a one-on-one with his son, say, son, I have fallen into sins like this, but the sacrament of penance has aided me so, so much in overcoming this or that. And the benefits of a frequent monthly confession. Another rhetorical question. How often does the father himself go as the same gender parent? Does he make a good example? You know, growing up, I'm like Saint Therese. I had a mother and father more worthy of heaven than of earth. And I remember my mother especially, but also our father, taking us to church regularly. When the cows were done being milked, we'd go to Mass. Before or after the cows were sold, we started going to the vigil mass on Saturday night. It was a regular staple in our lives, and the regular confession as well. And so this is extremely important to set the mold for the child. Provide the child with an age-appropriate examination of conscience pamphlet or examination of conscience brochure. Walk him through it. Guide him. Teach him. Be blunt with him. Son, these are some mortal sins that can be committed today, especially some of the mortal sins against the purity of the flesh in the day and age in which we live, okay? From internet pornography to objectifying women as objects of use, be blunt with your son, especially if he's 18. Guide him, lead him, love him with a capital L. Set the example and guide him to the sacrament. Say, son, how about you and I, just you and I alone, going to confession one afternoon together? Okay, I am very, very big in my preaching on the sanctification of marriage and family life, of the same gender relationship between parent and child. Now, a mother's relationship with her son and a father's relationship with his daughter are important too, don't get me wrong. But in this day and age, when gender ideology is so confused, and when fatherless homes are on the increase and divorces on the increase, we have to especially pay particular attention to the same gender parent relationship with the same gender child. And that would be the first angle that I would take. A more general angle would be just providing him with, a good examination of conscience brochure or pamphlet to help him guide his conscience and simply say, you know, look, this is our faith. This is your faith of baptism. What if you die today in a car accident? Are you ready to meet our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Are you ready to meet him? Can you say you've done everything in your life to live a good and holy life? Again, look at the teenage saints. Again, Dominic Savio, dead at age 15. Maria Goretti, dead at age 12. Therese died at age 24. Blessed Pier Giorgio Frassati died at age 24. Therese was a consecrated religious, but the other three were all single and living in the world according to their state in life as young people. You know, so we have a whole host of saints that go before us to lead us, to guide us, to give us the example. I would bring the lives of the saints into your godson's life as well.
That's the best I can do. I appreciate you saying that. If you can later on maybe comment on what to do, I think part of it is that he is actually afraid of the priest. If you
go to another parish,
he is kind of an imposing priest. I mean, I'm sure he's a really great guy, but he can be very, very imposing, shall we say.
Again, the father could recommend that they go to another area parish, to a priest that is totally, totally unknown to the young man. You know, I want to talk about this hour, how fear and shame are two of the driving forces that keep people away from the sacrament of penance. We'll touch upon that. But again, with all due respect, there's no reason why the father can't take his son.
Okay, the father's not in the picture.
Then the mother. Take him one-on-one, or an uncle, a practicing uncle, maybe your husband, if you have a husband, somebody who's dear in the child's life. But if not, his mother would be great. To go to an area parish where neither the parent nor the child, knows the priest at all. You know, the penitent has a right, according to canon law, to be totally anonymous to the confessor. That is a right that the penitent has. Okay, so I hope this helps you out.
Thank you very much, Margaret. I do hope that helps. Father, I'm wondering, as you're talking about the early church, you know, and confession, is confession something that has kind of developed in the modern times, or what are the roots of confession in the early church?
You know, it goes way back as a sacrament revealed by our Lord as a sacrament. Pope St. Clement I, in his letter to the Corinthians, he says, it is better for a man to confess his sins than to harden his heart. Now, the section in the Catechism makes it clear that the sacrament has taken on various forms over the ages, okay? And now it's quite spelled out how, for example, anonymous confessions versus public penances that were done in the early church after confessing publicly one's sins. But the sacrament has always existed since the time of Christ. He instituted, all seven sacraments were instituted by Christ. It is better for a man to confess his sins than to harden his heart. That's Pope St. Clement I. St. Cyprian, early church bishop and martyr, says, to be reminded that we are sinners and forced to ask forgiveness for our faults is both prudent and sound. Christ both taught us to pray for our sins and our faults, and also promised to show us a Father's mercy and forgiveness. And St. Augustine approaches the subject of confession by actually talking about conscience. He says, "This is our glory here on earth, the witness of our clear conscience." And this I remember from a former lust addict, huh? St. Augustine,
yes.
He tells all in his confessions, huh? He fathered a child out of wedlock at age 17. He lived with a woman for 23 years as his concubine, who was his concubine, whom he never married. And yet Holy Mother Church, the Bride of Christ, which he founded, we know by her four marks, the Church is one, holy, Catholic, and apostolic. Holy Mother Church has a wonderful sense of humor where Augustine's concerned, because he's not only one of the 36 doctors of the Church, and specifically one of the doctors of grace, that's his title, he's also one of the doctors of moral theology. You know, this former lust addict. So Holy Mother Church, the Bride of Christ, has a wonderful sense of humor, just as any mother with her children, her natural children, would have a wonderful sense of humor with them. And St. Isidore of Seville says, quote, "All hope consists in confession. Believe this firmly. Do not doubt. Do not hesitate. Never despair of the mercy of God. Hope and have confidence in confession always." And then later on in the centuries, from St. Thomas Aquinas, the Imitation of Christ, we have, "No one is truly happy who is aware of an unclean conscience." And I call him St. Thomas Aquinas just out of my own personal devotion. He's technically not a canonized saint. But in Book 1, Chapter 20, he says, "No one is truly happy who is aware of an unclean conscience." And then he goes on, he says in Book 4, Chapter 9, "Wipe clean from the slate of my conscience every stain of sin and every fault, and restore me to your sanctifying grace, O God, which I have lost through sin, granting me thus a full pardon of all my sins, and in your mercy receiving me with the kiss of peace." You know, I like to remind my listeners, Cy, that mercy is who God is. Many of the church fathers writing in the first 7 or 8 centuries called God's mercy, quote, "his greatest attribute," his greatest attribute. So mercy is who God is. It's love's second name. God is more interested in our future than in our past. He's more interested in the kind of person we can yet become than in the kind of person we used to be. While indeed taking our sin seriously, no doubt, whether mortal or venial, because they have in some way wounded or severed our supernatural relationship with him, he never, ever, ever takes those sins as the last word. Why? Because he knows he's made us in his image and likeness. He knows he calls us constantly to a life of his sanctifying grace. And he knows he is our God, who is bigger than any sin we might ever commit, even the most hideous or wicked mortal sin. You know, Abby Johnson, who's now on the Catholic speaking circuit at conferences and so forth, and I have never met Abby, but whenever I come across any of her quotes or writings, I make note of them, because she was deeply involved in the abortion industry as a facility director. She's now a turned pro-life activist, Abby Johnson, who now helps abortion facility staff and personnel leave the industry. This is a quote of hers that appeared recently in Columbia Magazine, which is the magazine put out by the Knights of Columbus out of New Haven, Connecticut. She says, quote, "I don't think I would be at the place I am at on this healing journey if it hadn't been for the Catholic Church, the sacraments, Eucharistic adoration, and the Church's explicit teachings on mercy and forgiveness have helped me immensely," she said. "The Church helps people understand sin and how to be free of it." Amen.
Amen. We got to take a quick break. Father Wade Menezes is our guest. Confession, Sacrament of Mercy is our topic. This is Catholic Answers Live, and we will be right back.
Join us on air today on Catholic Answers Live.
It was 100 years ago that our Blessed Mother appeared to three children in Fatima, Portugal, and Catholic Answers Magazine is marking the anniversary with a very special issue. Want to be sure to get your copy? Subscribe right now to the best Catholic apologetics magazine anywhere by calling 888-291-8000 or by going to Catholic.com. Getting Fatima right, exploding the myths of Fatima, and a closer look at our Blessed Mother. Just a few of the articles to look forward to. You don't want to miss this very special issue highlighting this hallmark event in Catholic history. Don't wait another moment to subscribe. Call 888-291-8000 or go to the shop at Catholic.com right now to get subscriptions for yourself and those you love. Share the faith. Defend the faith. Catholic Answers Magazine from Catholic Answers, the most trusted name in Catholic apologetics.
Hello, this is Archbishop Salvatore Cordiglione of San Francisco. Keep your dial tuned to Catholic Answers Live.
Catholic Answers Live is brought to you in part by CatholicSingles.com, the website for Catholics who want to meet others who share their faith and values for faith, fellowship, and love. You can learn more at CatholicSingles.com. Catholic Answers Live thanks CatholicSingles.com for their generous support.
The Catholic Answers Minute. I'm Father Vincent Serpa. In John 4, a royal official came to Jesus to come and heal his son who was ill. Jesus responded, "Unless you people see signs and wonders, you will not believe." The man pressed him further because he was worried that his child was about to die. Jesus said to him, "You may go. Your son will live." The Gospel notes that the man believed what Jesus said to him and left. Jesus then healed him without even going to see him. He had just complained about the people's unbelief when this man, who was frantic with worry over his child's illness, approached him with complete confidence. Jesus didn't have to see the child or even lay his hand on him. What he needed was a parent's faith in him. No matter how unlikely it seems that our prayers will be answered, all he requires of us is a loving trust. I'm Father Vincent Serpa for Catholic Answers, Catholic.com.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. We are talking confession, the sacrament of mercy, with Father Wade Benizis, a father of mercy himself. We go quickly now to Maureen in San Antonio, Texas, listening on EWTN. Maureen, you are on with Father Wade.
Hi, Maureen. Wade. In a discussion group that I was in at one time, one of the older ladies in the group made a comment about if someone had committed a bad sin like abortion, that they couldn't go to a priest. They would have to go to like a bishop or an archbishop in order to be forgiven. And I always had wondered if that was true.
You know, it's interesting, Maureen, that you say she was an older woman in the prayer group or the study group, because that would make sense, what she said. It used to be that only the local bishop could absolve one from abortion, but the United States Catholic Conference of Bishops and most conference of bishops throughout the world now, definitely in the United States, have now granted the faculty to all priests to forgive and absolve from the sin of abortion, which is a great thing, don't get me wrong, but it's also sad in that it shows just how prevalent that particular sin is now, that an entire conference of bishops voted at their annual meeting to grant this faculty to all. So it's a beautiful thing, don't get me wrong, and I'm glad that it's been granted, but it also says just how prevalent abortion is. But it makes sense that she said what she said, because yes, that's how it used to be. Thank you for your call.
Thank you very much, Maureen. Let's go real quick to Ed in and listening on the Station of the Cross in Massachusetts. Ed, your question for Father Menezes.
Hi, Father. Thank you for your ministry, first of all. It's such a blessing, especially to focus on this sacrament. And I have so many friends and peers and in the parish who just don't take advantage of this sacrament. It's just so great. I love it myself, because it's just you learn how to forgive yourself as you're forgiving others.
Amen.
That's one of the graces.
That's true, Ed. Ed, your question.
You cannot give to another, Ed, what you do not first possess yourself. And if you hope to forgive others, you have to have forgiveness for yourself and let God forgive you. I like to remind my listeners, you know, what are the words at every single Mass we attend right after the Our Father? Lord Jesus Christ, you said to your apostles, I leave you peace, my peace I give you. He wants us to have his peace. He does not want us to fall to pieces.
Right, right. My question is, do you know a gentle examination of conscience that I could, like, hand somebody to draw them back? Something that's, you know, Pope Francis' attitude, you know, very merciful, very gentle to draw them back.
You know, the Fathers of Mercy, my community, the Fathers of Mercy, on our website, we have a PDF document that's ready to print out. If you wanted them in color ink, we could send you however many you need. I think we only charge a little bit above cost of what it costs to print them. But it's wonderful in this regard, Ed. It's titled An Examination of Conscience and Catholic Doctrine Brochure. It's a little accordion-fold brochure, and on one side, you have the major tenets of Catholic Christian doctrine. The Ten Commandments, the Eight Beatitudes, the 14 Works of Mercy, 7 for the body, 7 for the soul, the 3 immanent good works, prayer, fasting, and almsgiving, the 9 fruits of the Holy Spirit, the 7 fruits of the Holy Spirit, the 12 gifts of the Holy Spirit, just all the major tenets of Catholic doctrine right there on one complete side of the folded brochure. And then on the other complete side is the examination of conscience, which combs through the Ten Commandments in a very solid yet modern way for 2017. Just a great combing through the Ten Commandments. And then the last panel on that side is a little primer of how to go to confession so that if they've been absent for a while from attending the sacrament and going to the sacrament, it serves as a little primer to go to confession, what to do when you first enter, what are your opening words, et cetera, et cetera. And so the whole brochure, front and back, is like a little catechism. Right there in the palm of your hand, a little catechism right there. Again, it's called An Examination of Conscience and Catholic Doctrine Brochure. You can get it at fathersofmercy.com in a PDF document ready to print off on your home printer, or you can order some from us. And we have them in Spanish now as well.
Thanks, Ed. Thanks very much for that call. I'm sure that will be helpful to you if you go to fathersofmercy.com. And Father Menezes, I have a question for you about the benefits of the sacrament of confession. I wonder if people are told about the benefits of the sacrament.
Oh, I love preaching on these, man. Bring them on. They're in the section on the catechism on the effects of the sacrament, and there's 9 of them, all right? Is everybody there in the studio? Do they have their seatbelts on? Are they ready to hear these?
Buckle up, Nick.
All right, here we go. Conscience is purified. Grace is increased. Will is strengthened. Self-knowledge is increased. More rapid growth in virtues takes place. Humility grows. Bad habits are assisted in being overcome. A spirit of mediocrity or lukewarmness is assisted in being overcome. And lastly, 9, greater self-control is achieved in daily living. So just 9 great benefits, or what are properly called effects of the sacrament. You know, show me a person who goes to confession once a month faithfully, just 12 times a year, say in honor of the first Friday devotion to the Sacred Heart, or in honor of the first Saturday devotion to the Immaculate Heart, which is great to do, especially this year with the 100th anniversary of the Fatima apparitions fully approved. But let's say a person goes once a month, Si. Chances are they will not have mortal sin to confess. Those month-to-month confessions will only be venial sin. Why? Because it's precisely the monthly confession per se that is what's precisely keeping them away from committing mortal sin, just 12 times a year. Now, it's true a person might have a particular vice they're striving to overcome. It could be that they fall into that during the month. But overall, show me a person who goes to confession faithfully, like clockwork, like a devoted son or daughter of the church, faithfully once a month, 12 times a year, and chances are, they won't have mortal sin to confess. It's precisely the practice of a monthly confession that's per se keeping them away from mortal sin.
We'll go now to Anonymous. You are on Anonymous. I don't have any other information on you. Anonymous, you are on with Father Wade Menezes.
Hi, Father. I listen to your regular on EWTN Hi, I listen to you regularly on EWTN, and I did have the gift of meeting Abby Johnson, and it was incredible. I am a person that was unchurched, then a Lutheran, who had been severely abused by about every man in my life for whatever reason, and I became a Catholic in 1993. Not for my husband, but because of his encouragement. And sure. I have found that it's very, very beautiful. And the things that I have gone through have brought me to God. And the confession has been the only thing that really has topped it off. I could have counseling and I could have all these other things, groups. But it was the confession and it was the beauty of including EWTN priests that healed me. And my question is, when I'm in groups, because it's a kind of an ongoing thing with this, how can I pray or help people to be free that aren't, that were just like me, that have suffered severe abuse, like in my case by my father in the beginning, to forgive the abuser and forgive yourself, because that's the biggest chunk of this. You feel somehow as a child you're responsible.
Well, I would say by the beautiful witness that you just verbalized, for example, to all Catholic Answers listeners right now, just by your own witness, we need to remember that when we go to confession, it's not only to confess our sins that we committed personally, mortal or venial, personal sin, resultant again of the original sin, but we can also go to confession to tell the confessor, I forgive those who have abused me. I was a victim of this or that. So in other words, if you confess sexual abuse or you confess psychological abuse, obviously you're the victim there. You're not the perpetrator. It was done to you. However, confession is a beautiful place to verbalize out loud that you forgive your perpetrator, that you want to be healed of that past woundedness. This is why it's a sacrament of healing. So you bring up a wonderful point. Confession is not only for the confession of sins. It's also called the sacrament of forgiveness, where we ourselves can verbalize out loud to the confessor who's acting in persona Christi, Latin for in the person of Christ, acting as an alter Christus, another Christ, verbalize to the confessor out loud that, yes, I forgive he or she who abused me, and I want to be healed of this hellacious past that I have, and I want to move forward and become a great saint and witness to others. So a beautiful point you bring up, Anonymous. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Anonymous. Father, someone who called from Florida, I just want to read her question to you. If there are people in our lives that will not go to confession for whatever reason, but continue to go to communion, what responsibility do we have? How do we handle this?
Well, if you have objective knowledge and subjective knowledge that they're committing a mortal sin, in other words, it looks like a duck, it acts like a duck, it probably is a duck, cohabitating in the same bedroom. Chances are fornication is taking place, and this is a relative of yours. And you have objective identification of this mortal sin, and you have subjective, meaning this particular person's doing it. You want to privately, charitably pull them aside and say, you know, you may not know this, but I want to witness to you because I do know it, and here it is. This is, objectively speaking, a mortal sin that you are subjectively carrying out. St. Thomas Aquinas says, whenever we give fraternal correction, it needs to be done privately and charitably. And that's a great point to remember in witnessing to others.
Indeed, Father. And some people are afraid. Why are they afraid to go to confession, Father?
You know, it could be for any number of reasons. Fear, shame, ignorance of sin itself or of the effects or the consequences of sin. I've always said, Sai, show me a person who's afraid of confession, and chances are it's because they somehow, some way got it into their mind that they have to go into great or graphic detail about their sins, and that's not what the Church teaches. Kind and approximate number is all that's needed. Kind and approximate number. By kind, the Church means simply name it simply.
That's very, very helpful. Finish there, Father. Father Wade Menezes, thanks so much for being with us today on Catholic Answers Live.